A Jewish Journal article. Build me a tabernacle. Build me a tabernacle, said the Lord, so that amongst you I shall be allowed to dwell. This order was the Lord's award to Israel who had dwelt beneath his cloud till via Moses. This command was given to its great architect Bezalel, proof before they sinned that Jews would be forgiven the moment God came underneath its roof, although the fundamental reason why they built it was not as his home, a landing spot for him beneath the sky, where he could dwell while Israelites would roam for 40 years before allowed to enter the promised land, where later they would build a temple in Jerusalem, the center of the earth, for glory, not for guilt. God's home was not the tabernacle but Jews' hearts in which he wishes to be shut. He showed to Moses its imaginary blueprints, foreshadowing how Plato in Timaeus wrote how shadows on caves' walls provide us hints of objects as if they from shadows float. For both its structure and its contents, Moses showed God's instructions to his architect, the text that he in Exodus composes as blueprints for what both men would erect. They made the wooden building out of trees called shittim. In the Bible, our acacia, its centerpiece an ark, which had a frieze of figures quite fantastic, a fantasia composed of creatures made of solid gold, winged cherubs that were virtual charioteers and drove God's presence no one could behold except the angels, of the cherubs' peers. Like pedestals of bulls the Hittites made for gods that they adored, like Baal-hated, the cherubs had a shape no law forbade, for idols only make Jehovah mad if they are not of him. He cannot bear to see the images of false gods being served, but does not mind if his is worshipped where the laws he's given here may be observed. A lot of people still are in a fog about this, thinking cherubs violated a prohibition of the Decalogue, just like the calf they pled for in gold-plated. The cherubs occupied a special seat which they both shared with God, the gold kaporet. Approached on Yom Kippur by the Elite, high priest, who incense clouded, stood before it. Inside the Ark a covenant, the pact which testified that God was Israel's Lord. A treaty that the Lord has always backed, despite behavior often untoward, replacing with a calf their leading man, whom they attempted, traitors, to replace, as Jeroboam later would attempt, by echoing these Israelites' disgrace with calves to show Jerusalem contempt, for in the tabernacle, Israelites presumed, as Pope would put it, God to scan, and fashioned cherubs for the sacred rites, thus bringing God's high image down to man. Before the tabernacle could be built, the Israelites composed an epitaph. These are our golden gods, and tried to jilt the Lord, replacing Moses with a calf. By their disloyalty angered, Moses smashed the tablets on which God himself had written the Ten Commandments that they nearly trashed. For their disloyalty they were not smitten, because they were protected by a previous agreement God had made with patriarchs, preventing our destruction when we're devious, as rainbows protect with their colored arcs all devious descendants of old Noah whom God saved from drowning in a global tide in a great ark, cooperating room, in which he saved the lives of every Noahide. The tabernacle also held a table on which they used to lay the loaves of bread. A candlestick whose seven arms were able to cause, as from a jewel, light to spread, echoing the gem in Noah's ark that kept it most miraculously lit while all the world outside was damp and dark, a virtual gemmed menorah retrofit. In many other ways the tabernacle recalls the ark that Noah had to build, comparison Bezalel used to tackle, with help from an old architecture guild. There were two altars, one of burnished gold on which the holy incense always burned, and one brass laver which, so we are told, was made from women's mirrors Aaron spurned but Moses said he gladly would accept, this gift to him the sweetest of them all. For women Moses always had respect, and now they gave what helped them to enthrall their husbands who in Egypt were so tired they did not wish for comfort in a bed. The brass from all the mirrors Moses fired made them more holy than the loaves of bread the priests laid on the table once a week, in front of the menorah and the ark, a proof that though some think that flesh is weak, it may inspire spirits with a spark. The loaves of bread looked like a ship that's rocking, an image rhyming with that of the laver made from bronze mirrors Aaron censured shocking, while Moses saw their motive with fair favor. Within the holy tabernacle's place no work was done on Sabbath, holy time far more important than was holy space, a point with which I shall conclude my rhyme. For though the tabernacle is no more, each week our lives with Sabbath can be filled. Once every 7 days we have rapport with God when by the Sabbath we are thrilled. Writing how in Exodus God showed Moses the design of the tabernacle, I recalled how during my teens one of my Torah teachers, Ephraim Weisenberg, pointed out to me that the way that Moses was shown the archetype of the tabernacle, Exod 26-30, 27-8, proved that the Torah anticipated Plato, who wrote in Timaeus. That observable reality is merely a reflection of its theoretically imagined image. Francis Landy records a similar recollection of Professor Rabbi Weisenberg's observation in his article, "The Bible is a Book of Questions, Not Answers," and a similar concept is evoked by Shai Agnan in his mysterious story, The Secret Door. Gershon Hepner is a poet who has written over 25,000 poems on subjects ranging from music to literature, politics to Torah. He grew up in England and moved to Los Angeles in 1976. Using his varied interests and experiences, he has authored dozens of papers in medical and academic journals, and authored Legal Friction, Law, Narrative, and Identity Politics in Biblical Israel. He can be reached at email protected.